From Daylight, I'm Kazuki Akiba.
I'm Brandon Beiser.
And this is Sayonara Baseball. This is a podcast where you and I find unseen baseball gems by analyzing them alongside different trends, news, and motivation behind many moves around the league today.
On today's episode, we review the 2022 World Series. Welcome to another round of the postseason and to another episode of Sayonara Baseball. I'm Brandon Beiser, and with me from somewhere parts more somewhat known, Kazuki Akiba. We are back with the final episode of the 2022 season as we review the World Series. The Houston Astros won in six games. There was a rain delay. They still won in six games. So we'll get started. We're going to do three, take a break, do the back three, and then we'll close it out. So game one, it's October 28th. Philadelphia 6, Houston 5, 10-inning ball. Houston scored 5 runs in 3 innings to start the game. 2 home runs by the warming of the hands fire lad called Kyle Tucker. And then the top of the fourth inning, Phillies start their comeback with a series of, I call it ground of contact hits, best way to describe it. Harper, Castellanos, and Bohm lead the way. Though I remember listening to the radio broadcast and they all like were stunned at Rhys Hoskins in this beginning of the rally because there was a hit where Rhys Hoskins was on second and could have easily made it home, except he stopped at third. And Nick Castellanos saved him because Nick Castellanos brought him home after the Harper single. Then Bohm followed up and we proceed from there. Realmuto doubles in the fifth to tie the game. And then obviously we know what happens in the 10th. JP Realmuto hits a razor line home run in Minute Maid Park, gets the lead 6-5, and they win the game. The pitching was not great. So you have a couple of pitching stats here about what's going on here. So what happened to pitching in game one?
Houston started off with their longtime veteran ace, Justin Verlander, who has historically struggled in the World Series. I think he had an ERA over 5 starting in that game, and he was electric, great for the first 3 innings, and he started to like really get back into the World Series Verlander mode, and gave up 5 runs. So he struggled, giving up 6 hits, 5 all earned, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He looked unhittable to a bullpen practice after that. And then Nola also, who has been lights out all of September, and even in Minute Maid Park, he you know had the playoff berth clinching game in Houston for the Phillies, he was lights out that game, and he's been shaky since the Padres game, and he didn't even go 5 innings, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 5 all earned, 2 walks and 5 strikeouts, and the bullpen really saved the whole game for Philadelphia right there. The starters didn't go deep, but luckily, Alvarado came in, shut down 2 outs, you know, against obviously the lefty Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker. And then you have Eflin, Ranger Suarez, who's starter, came in as a bullpen arm to also neutralize Yordan and Kyle Tucker again, the whole 3-4-5 of the Houston lineup, who's been red hot and great. And then Dominguez and then D-Rob shut down the whole game. So props to the bullpen. They basically went like a starter, 5 2/3. 4 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, no earned run, no runs. So that's been pretty good. And some notable stats here coming into this game. It was Philly's first time in the World Series since Game 6 in 2009 against the Yankees. And this is Astros' 4th World Series appearance in 6 years since 2017. So, you know, you're making, like we said in the previous episode, you're facing a David and Goliath situation here.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this was an interesting development to watch the Phillies really come back from being behind on the road. So that was a development that was somewhat unexpected, but they got the win, lead the series 1-0. We go to game two, which I thought was a more routine type of game we expected. Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman get the Astros on the board early, but the reverse happens. The Astros hold them off. Final score, Houston 5, Philadelphia 2. Framber Valdez outperforms Zach Wheeler, 6 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts. It's a great performance. Wheeler was less sharp, 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 walks, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, 3 strikeouts. The Philly bullpen was strong between Bilotti, Brogdon, and Hand, but they were behind. I mean, Philadelphia was behind and they just, you know, Houston shut them down better. So I think that was kind of what we expected most games to be like. And then we go to game three. And the marquee moment, the marquee part of game three, even before the first pitch was on, is we're back at the bank. And we're at the bank. Anything could happen. Well, it was supposed to be on Halloween night. And in the Mid-Atlantic region, there was a bunch of rain at night, and they postponed the game by a night. So now games were going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday from 3 to 7. So game three on Tuesday night, November 1st, if you're in November baseball, delayed one day, and the Phillies came out red hot. 7 runs, they win 7-0, all 7 runs coming from the long ball. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Alex Bohm, Brandon Marsh, and Rhys Hoskins. Lance McCullers Jr. was the polar opposite of when we saw him in the Seattle Mariners 18-inning marathon game. And you wrote a note here about you thought people were considering he just tipping his pitches. So that's an interesting development that I didn't expect. And then talk about the Phillies' pitching performance here, even like the back end of the Houston performance here, because I think that's what really was quite remarkable here that really held, like I said, gave Phillies back their mojo that they had lost in game two. So what was the element of the Phillies that really sent them going here from the perspective?
I think, the key game three starter, Ranger Suarez, who came in game one to shut down the formidable 3-4-5. He was very sharp and electric. 5 innings, three hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Did not give any hard outs. No high leverage situation for him whatsoever. He just made the Astros hitter look really silly. And then after the 7 runs, they didn't have to go to any of their high leverage guys. So you saw guys like Brogdon, Gibson, Nelson and Bilotti close the door. Like, you don't really see them in any, you shouldn't see them at all in a playoff game, but because they had such a substantial lead, like they really didn't need them. And, but on the flip side, once McCullers left, Jose Urquidy, who was actually rumored to be part of the Wilson Contreras trade that got nixed by Jim Crane, that got confirmed a few days ago to this week. He came in very solid in this game. 3 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 walk, 4K. Shut down that Phillies offense after McCullers left.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. That was pretty much how game three went. It was, again, the surprise because we didn't think we expect Philadelphia to win games by the long ball to that extent. So we're at 2-1 in advantage of Philly. We've gone past the rain delay games. Now we have games 3, 4, 5, and 6. So coming up after the break, we continue our review of the 2022 World Series. Welcome back. We are reviewing the 2022 World Series. We're about 2 weeks out from it. About a week, actually. A week and a half out from it. So game 4, this is Wednesday, November 2nd. In Philadelphia, and something happens that the last time this happened, it was in Philadelphia. Or it may not have been in Philadelphia. I'll check my facts on that one. But it happened involving the Philadelphia Phillies. There was a no-hitter in the World Series. Now, I don't care what you want to say about it's a single pitcher versus a combined no-hitter. The fact that it's a combined no-hitter in the World Series, I think, is a harder feat to a certain degree, in the sense that you have to maintain the things that you're doing under the pressure. However, there is like a perfect game and then a single pitcher complete game World Series, complete game perfect no-hitter. That is incredible. The reason why I have a lot of respect, and I even say this, I guess almost I said it, I put it a little bit higher possibly, is because it's just uneven. Like you're putting different combinations of things. But the reason why this one, I particularly am a little higher on this one, is the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros in this combined no-hitter, where Houston won 5-0, was Christian Javier. He's pitched like barely any innings in 2022. His previous outing to the Philadelphia Phillies Game 4 was Game 4 against the New York Yankees, where he shut them down like I haven't seen in many games of the Yankees this entire season, let alone the playoffs. So to go from Christian Javier just leading the charge again and shutting them out, and then also contributing to a no-hitter with you put the back end of the bullpen in and do the whole thing, that's incredible. But we have to mention the person who did this beforehand, the Philadelphia Phillies, and that was the late, great Roy Halladay. Out of his wife at the his Hall of Fame ceremony, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit and I'll butcher it. I apologize. But she basically said, imperfect people can do perfect things. And it was relevant to that moment. Because what Roy Halladay did for the Philadelphia Phillies years ago is one of those feats like, you probably won't see it again for very long. And we didn't. And then it happens against the Phillies in a combined setting, which is, I guess, more expected these years than the single pitcher no-hitter. But on the road, I'm just more marveled at, and we've talked about this, there are two young players in the Houston Astros that have marveled me throughout the postseason. Pitching is Javier, and obviously the AL, the World Series MVP, or at least ALCS MVP, like multiple, won so many awards I can't picture it now. That's Jeremy Peña. But yeah, 5-0, 2-2, we're going back to Houston.
No, we're still in Philly in Game 5.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. The rain delay got me thrown off because Kazuki has corrected me, because Kazuki, as you know, our resident expert on all things Amazon here, because on Thursday night, we had the dilemma of dilemmas on November 3rd. So a little fun fact here. So when I work in television and digital media, and Kazuki obviously works with Amazon. When the games were moved to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night prime on football on Prime Video was Philadelphia at Houston. Now you had two teams from the same cities playing against each other in opposite cities. And I got that confused. Now that Kazuki's reminded me, Houston playing Philadelphia in the World Series Game 5 was in Philadelphia at the bank. Philadelphia playing at Houston was at Reliant in Houston, Texas. So simultaneously, you had these games going on. They had to alter the channels for when these games were going to go, because in Philadelphia, this game was supposed to be on the Fox broadcast network. Well, it couldn't be on Fox because Fox had the World Series. So in all that confusion, by the way, the Eagles won the football game. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Let's go, Eagles. Houston wins Game 5. Total number of runs scored in this game was 5. Houston 3, Philadelphia 2. And I talked about him last. I talked about him several times. He is the showstopper for this team. And that is Jeremy. Noah Syndergaard versus Justin Verlander. I felt like this matchup was destined for other teams than, like, you know, the teams that they're on. I felt like I was playing Mets Tigers. Obviously, we were not. Bad defensive cost Philadelphia in this game. So walk me through from that bad defensive play to the end because this game was a lot closer than I thought it could be. Because I thought, you know, one's going to break, and no one broke.
Yeah, it was a 2-1 game, very close in the top of the eighth. There was a runner on third, and it was an infield in, and there was a ground ball hit right to Rhys Hoskins, and it looked like a very easy routine play that he could throw someone out at home, but he bobbled it and botched that play, and all he had was a play at first, so he gave up another run, which gave another insurance run to the Houston Astros. And then what led after that was the rally, and I could explain it down the line from there. You know, they scored another run, and Marsh was up with runners on first and third, one out. And then, you know, Dusty Baker saw that Montero didn't really have anything anymore in that game. So he went straight to the closer, Ryan Pressly, and Ryan Pressly struck Marsh out. And then he had Kyle Schwarber up, was that high leverage situation. And he's been clutch all series, giving all the home runs and everything. And he hit a laser right down the first baseline. And guess who was playing? Our hero of the former Baltimore Orioles, Trey Mancini, who is cancer-free, and he saved that game. And he literally had it right on the bag and got Schwarber out for the third out and really saved that game for the Astros. And from there, it's a lot of a defensive web jam from here. In the ninth inning, I didn't write this down, but Alec Bohm had a very nice double play to end the inning. To give the Phillies momentum going into the ninth was a 3-2 game. And it was one out. Ryan Pressly still pitching in the game. JT Realmuto still up. He hits a laser to center field that looked like it could have been a tie game. But guess who was there? Chas McCormick.
He saved that ball from going in the forest.
Yep. He's a young center fielder. And he was like, he made a Superman jump and caught the ball right at the wall and literally saved that game. And next thing game over. And this is a very huge highlight for a prestigious career of Justin Verlander. In his 16th year, he has never won a game in the World Series. And now he has a W in the books. And now he could write that down in his Hall of Fame career.
So Justin Verlander gets the win. 3-2 final. Like I said, Houston had the lead when he was still pitching. And they basically, they took the lead on a bad defensive error. And then they held the line, kept it close 3-2, and they win. So now I will be correct and say game 6, Saturday, November 5th, in Houston at Minute Maid Park. So we are back in Houston, Minute Maid Park. So here we go. Framber Valdez, Zach Wheeler. We already know what happens. Houston 4, Philadelphia 1. This is game 6. That's game 4. That's 4 wins in the World Series. We'll stay. We'll go back to Houston for the first time in several years. Because they've been the World Series, what, 4 times, you said, since 2017? So here they are again. Lost last year. Back in it this year. Wheeler was sharp until the 6th. And we'll explain what happened after that. Kyle Schwarber led off the game with a Schwarber bomb. Schwarberfest was still full effect at this time. Yordan Alvarez hit a 3-run home run. Does that sound familiar? That sounds familiar. But who was on base yet again? Jeremy Pena. Does that sound familiar? That sounds familiar. So again, we had the Jeremy Pena, Yordan Alvarez show, get them up ahead. Hector Neris, Abreu, Ryan Pressly, shut the door. First trophy since 2017. Obviously, 2017 has it's all marred and mired in the foolishness that was there among the cheating. There was the comments from the assistant GM to the reporter. Like, that whole year was debacle. It a mess. I'm hoping they moved on from that. But they got what people believe is a quote-unquote real World Series win here. So the trade acquisitions helped. We always saw Trey Mancini, Christian Vasquez. Christian Vasquez Maldonado call great games.
We forgot to mention, he was the one who called that combined no-hitter game.
Vasquez called the combined no-hitter. I will say that by watching the Houston Astros in this series, obviously we, people who listen to this podcast know, Kazuki and I are not great fans of Houston Astros organization. Ruined the Mariners season. They're not a really enjoyable team to watch as a neutral. But when you watch on the camera and you watch Martín Maldonado, and Vasquez is in the Red Sox and now here, they are professionals. They are incredible at what they do. And they call great games. I mean, obviously, I still think the best is Yadier Molina. Nobody calls a game like Martín Maldonado's been here several times now. Christian Vasquez obviously has been a lot of high leverage, important games with the Red Sox. There's a reason why they went out and got him. It's this. Like, I will say this. He can call an amazing game from behind the plate. So that's one thing. And they got Trey Mancini. I was sad when Trey left Baltimore. But he got his moment. He might not stay there. He might go. But that's that. There's a couple ending notes here, but I want to hear your thoughts before we get to like the news about the Astros that happened after World Series. So anything else about the actual game itself before we get to post-series news about the Astros?
I mean, it's standard Astros, right? We knew that they were the most dominant team coming into the playoffs, and, you know, they did it. You know, the best team in baseball won the series, and as Brandon mentioned, yeah, we're not a fan because, like, you know, we're a Mariners fan, but I have huge, huge respect for the Astros, like, team itself, the structure that Lunau built. Like, the talent is actually very, very talented. Like, they're so good.
Oh, their talent is phenomenal. Like I say, Jeremy Peña winning all these awards as a rookie is incredible.
And that rotation is so, so stacked. You don't even need Justin Verlander next year. And they're that good. It's begrudgingly great, you know?
Right. And we'll get into the quick news here. So we're recording this the day after Veterans Day, November 12th. So we know about all the free agents who have not declined options, everything. One of them being Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander has opted for free agency. James Click refused a one-year deal to return to the Astros and is now a free agent in his own right. Dusty Baker's back for one more year, though. So the Astros could be, quote-unquote, a little bit fragmented right now. We'll see what happens if we go into winter meetings, everything, and we'll update you probably towards beginning of March with where everything's settled out. But that's where we are. The Houston Astros are slightly coming apart at the seams a little bit afterwards.
I mean, I still say they're probably the best dynasty you've seen since the 90s Yankees.
Oh, that's true.
They're
that's
the real, probably true. That star that Brian Cashman, you know,
they're very much like they're very much like the Death Star. No one likes them. They play in a building that's really dark. Yeah, they're pretty much the Death Star.
And they're like so, so good. Like, and they'll still pump out talent and trade for talent. I mean, Yordan Alvarez was in the trade for Josh Fields, was the Dodgers in 2017. Like, they know how to identify talent, develop them, and they could let go of superstar talent. They don't have to sign into a long-term contract.
Well, they let go of Carlos. Let's all remember that the play they let go of throughout the beginning of this year. They let go of Carlos Correa for a lot of money to the Minnesota Twins, and he's already a free agent again. So they have a shot at doing it again. They have a shot at doing it again. Obviously, we have a champion, Houston Astros. The Space Cowboys reign supreme. 2022 Major League Baseball season is over. And a quick look back. Beginning this year, we didn't think we'd have a great season to begin with because we had, you know, a labor dispute that was pretty ugly. So we started a week and a half late. We get through the summer. We saw some crazy happenings going on in terms of teams doing well that were not doing well, teams doing well, not doing well that we thought were going to do well. And then we saw Aaron Judge break Roger Maris's record, and then the Yankees falter in the playoffs. We saw the Houston Astros actually just go through and mow people down. We saw the Dodgers lose in the playoffs to the Padres. And it was just a weird thing in that sense, but the Padres are my surprise team of the year because they were like, their thing worked. What other than that, again, we'll talk a little about we'll make sure we talk about the Mariners in a second here, but
and the other thing I think is, like you mentioned, there's three historical moments in baseball this season that happened, you know, Miggy's 3,000 hit. And then you have Aaron Judge's obviously 62nd home run, breaking the AL record. And then Albert Pujols breaking the 700 mark. Thing, you know, you'll never see that in baseball ever again, having three milestones broken in 1 year.
I mean, yeah, the Pujols moment was great. We talked about that. Obviously, Roger Maris, for Aaron Judge was great. But Miguel Cabrera, that 3,000th hit, it's just amazing how he's done it so well. Because Miguel Cabrera was never a guy who hit 40 home runs in a season. It's not his method of operation. He's a guy who's going to get on base with that nice swing. He's going to dunk it into the center field and get, you know, a single and a double, a single and a double. And he's played on the Detroit Tigers for most of his career.
I mean, to be fair, he did hit a lot of 40 home run campaigns in Detroit. He had a triple crown in 2012, almost had it in 2013 as well.
Yeah. I never think of him like that, which is incredible. Because it's not what I think about him today. But when the Tigers were playoff contenders year in, year out, he's obviously one of the best players, at least of our generation, just for how well he plays this game.
And speaking of the Tigers, you know, the GM of that time, Dave Dombrowski, you know, this is his fourth, dance into the World Series with four different organizations. Like, you know, that's an incredible feat for a baseball ops, like just creating a team that goes into the World Series each time. Did it was the Marlins, built the Tigers to go twice, and then the Red Sox won it. And then here, Phillies, who we didn't expect to get into the World Series, is in the World Series. Like, you know, that man deserves some praise as well.
Yeah. And you talk about, well, I'll close on this for the historical ones, the Miguel Cabrera near triple crown winner. That's still the coolest thing. After all the final season accomplishments, I love a good triple crown winner. Freddie Freeman is, I think, the more contemporary, at least of this current couple past seasons, who could do it. I mean, he's pretty incredible. And we'll see what happens again. We see next year, we have a lot of free agents. We'll get into that in the spring. But we're going to close out with a little short message. As we know, our friend Sarah Langs always says baseball is the best. Well, 2022 baseball was pretty good. Pretty darn good. So on behalf of Kazuki and this entire podcast season and series, we sincerely thank you for another season of Sayonara Baseball. This is my second full season with you all, and I thank you for letting me, you know, continue to be the guy who makes a ton of foibles and foolishness on this podcast. We keep doing it. But this season obviously made a great deal to Kazuki and myself, because the last time the Mariners made the playoffs, I was 2001, I lived in Vermont. I could barely think of, you know, other than 116 wins, what's going to happen that season. They got, you know, got playoffs. And then this year, a young man puts on the jersey number 44, the Julio Rodriguez show, starts and keeps rolling along. And the Mariners make the playoffs on a ridiculous moment, very much like, to compare it to a football moment from last year, when Evan McPherson hit that field goal to put the Bengals into the Super Bowl. That's what Cal Raleigh's home run felt like. It'd been so long, and all of a sudden you see this one moment, you're like, oh my goodness, we just did it. Pacific Northwest, lose your minds. And it was incredible to watch. The Mariners made it. They have high hopes. A lot of teams have high hopes. We have a lot of free agents. A lot of moves can shake. Movements can go down between now and the spring. So come next season, maybe, just maybe, like this year, we'll make some wishes that may come true, like this season. Until next spring, stay tuned for any of our winter recess episodes, hoping to bring those back. And until then, let us possibly be the first to wish you a happy and safe holiday season and a happy new year. And on behalf of Sayonara Baseball, we'll see you on the field again, sooner or later.
That's it for this episode of Sayonara Baseball. This episode of Sayonara Baseball is hosted and produced by me, Kazuki Akiba, and Brandon Beiser. This episode was edited by Kazuki Akiba with additional research by Brandon Beiser. Our theme song is by K. Margus. Sayonara Baseball is a production of Daylight and Media 3 Limited. We'll be back with another episode. If you like this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast as more people will know about this show. Go to daylightinteractive.com to see some exclusive updates and more about our upcoming shows. I'm Kazuki Akiba.
And I'm Brandon Beiser.
And this has been Sayonara Baseball.